Other questions for oral answer, Mr. Yip Hong Wing.
Mr. Speaker, sir, good morning. With your permission, I would like to address oral questions numbers 1 and 2 in today's order paper together. And my reply will also cover written question number 28. And I invite all members to seek clarifications after.
Please proceed.
Members may refer to our Deputy Prime Minister's ministerial statement on the 7th of April, which described the economic impact of the Middle East crisis. Energy-intensive industries and outward-oriented sectors saw the most impact from increased energy costs. The crisis has also increased domestic operating costs and compounded challenges for export-oriented sectors, which are already impacted by global trade fragmentation. While the labour market remains resilient for now, businesses have become more cautious in their hiring plans amid the heightened uncertainty. Based on MOM's survey, the proportion of firms intending to hire in the next 3 months fell from 54.6% in February 2026 to 44.6% in March 2026. Now, although expectations remain below February's levels, there were early signs of stabilization in April. And this was supported by data from the Economic Development Board and Department of Statistics, which suggests that hiring sentiments are likely to further stabilize and improve over the longer term. All job seekers who need assistance can tap on Workforce Singapore or WSG and Skills Future Singapore SSG's suite of career matching services and programs. Depending on the economic and job market conditions, MOM stands ready to provide further support to job seekers if necessary.
Mr. Yip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thank the Minister for his reply. Given reports that some firms are slowing workforce expansion due to cost pressures given the situation in the Middle East, has MOM observed any corresponding shift in firms' hiring preferences between local workers and our foreign workforce? And does the Ministry intend to further calibrate work pass policies if Singaporeans, particularly mid-career PMETs, are facing disproportionately weaker hiring prospects? Thank you.
Minister Tan.
I thank the member for his supplementary question. We have not seen any shifts at the moment in firms' hiring preferences. Our resident employment continued to grow in the first quarter of 2026, and we just released the report about a week ago. And that growth was higher compared to the first quarter of 2025. So there's a seasonality in terms of the change involved. So if you compare the first quarter of this year, 2026, versus the first quarter of 2025, the resident employment continued to grow. Our work pass policies also ensure that Singaporeans are given a level playing field against foreign workers, and we do our level best to ensure that our foreign workers here are complementary to our local Singaporean workers. Now, we've been continually calibrating our work pass policies in response to labour market conditions. For example, at Budget COS this year, we announced an increase in EP and S-Pass qualifying salaries that will take effect from January 2027. We also regularly review the campus shortage occupation list, or SOL, to remove occupations that are no longer in shortage. So we always seek to strive, to strike a right balance between ensuring that our businesses have that space, the latitude to continue to grow, while ensuring that our local Singaporean workers and talent continues to also have that trajectory for them to grow as well. Thank you.
Mr. Liang Yikua.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So we hope that there will be peaceful resolutions to the Middle East conflict soon and that the Straits of Hormuz will be fully open. Notwithstanding, as the Minister have said before on several occasions, even if the conflict's over, the damages it has caused, especially to the oil and gas infrastructure, will have long-lasting impact to the world economy. So can I further ask the Minister if he sees, as a result of the war, permanent or structural changes to the related industries that will affect the BAU, that will affect investments of specific sectors within our economy and hence affecting jobs opportunities. Also, on the reserves, whether the crisis, although it poses risks and challenges to us, whether the Minister also sees new opportunities created as a result of the crisis and worthy of us investing into it or doubling down, for example, in our oil refinery capacity, our position as a oil trading hub, or even in the energy transition. Thank you.
Minister Lee.
Thank Mr. Liang for that two very insightful SQs. I think it's premature today to conclude on a long-term structural impact on related to the industry transformation, because the crisis as we speak is still unfolding. And if you look at all of the media, it evolves on a daily basis. And it's also reflected in the way oil prices and stock prices have moved concurrently. Our view is that the crisis is likely to accelerate the existing structural shifts that are already underway in the entire global economy. And I'm talking about supply chain, diversification, digitalization. Yesterday, we spent 7 hours talking about AI adoption. And of course, the energy transition and also energy resilience. Our sense is that this will indeed push, this will test the resilience of countries, of economies. But in crises like this, it also creates a lot of new opportunities for firms to transform, to diversify, and to deepen their capabilities. In the energy supply chain, we are in the entire energy ecosystem. Energy has come to the forefront because it is existential for all of us. And with the move towards pervasive adoption of artificial intelligence, there will be a need for even more energy to drive the data centers. And the high type of AI compute type of data centers required. So energy is really the new currency and is existential for all of us. We are also at a time in our entire civilization's development where there's actually an abundance of new discoveries in oil and gas, and there are also a lot of accelerated developments towards green energy sources. What we are experiencing currently are actually supply chains blockages, chokeholds. For instance, what we are seeing now in the Middle East, in the Straits of Hormuz. Our sense is that many countries are moving, not just thinking about diversification, but they are also moving into a just-in-case mode rather than just-in-time. For Singapore, because we stand at a very strategic crossroad between the East and the West, I believe that given the decades of goodwill, the trust the credibility and our reputation that we have built as a very reliable partner to many, many countries. This crisis will put us, will test us, and if we are able to prevail, I think it would cement, it would reinforce and consolidate our position as a trusted hub. So to that end, our Prime Minister has in recent weeks committed that we will not impose any export restriction. So for downstream refined products, the essential fuel products, whether it's MoGas, MotorGas, diesel, and so on, many of the countries that depend on our refinery hubs to get access to that downstream supply will continue, our sectors here will continue to see relevance. And of course, we are equally committed to our decarbonisation targets that we have set for ourselves. So I believe that these are new opportunities in the energy space, in the supply chain space, that we are able, we have our right to play, that we have our competitive advantage, and we will continue to build on them, including our port, our maritime hub, our connectivity, our entire logistics, moving into advanced manufacturing, financial services, and of course, healthcare. So I hope that gives you the overall opportunities that's available, first and foremost to Singaporeans, and of course, to complementary talent who will come here to help us reinforce our position and help us to continue to grow. Thank you.
Dr. Chu.
Thank you, Speaker, and thank you, Minister, for your response. Building on the earlier response, could the Minister share whether Singapore's workforce planning approach is being further adapted for a more persistent state of structural uncertainty where workers may face overlapping disruptions from trade fragmentation, technological change, and sectoral restructuring, which may occur concurrently over their careers rather than as isolated transitions? Thank you.
Minister Tan.
Thank Dr. Chu for her supplementary question. The answer is a resounding yes. I had the opportunity of reading the draft of the Economic Strategic Review report. I think it is going to be released soon. And many of the points that she covered will and have actually have been addressed in the report. And I think it will be released and shared in due time. But based on what we have been debating over the last 2 days, yesterday, 7 hours, the previous day on the formation of the Skills Workforce Development Agency, 5 over hours. So in an over 12-hour stretch of debate, I think this is really what the focus is all about how we can prepare our workers, how we're going to invest in our workers to further reinforce their competitive advantage in dealing with longer-term structural shifts in our entire economy and in, of course, the entire workforce transformation journey. Thank you.